Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And we'll read verses 1 through 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of God. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to seven or even to eight, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in all, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. May He bless that reading to our hearts and our minds. So our text for this morning is Ecclesiastes chapter 11, looking at verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Now our theme as we look at this text is bread casting for kingdom building. This is following 10 chapters of Solomon as an old man who is an old king, and he's reflecting on the foolishness of the things of this world and reflecting on all that life has to offer outside of the scriptures and outside of the Messiah. And he's in these first 10 chapters, he makes a contrast between what life is like in the world and what life is like according to the scriptures in the Messiah. And as he comes to this portion where he lifts up and elevates the Messiah, he gives his young readers final thoughts. And I think this is a good congregation to look at Ecclesiastes, because Solomon is the old man preacher. And he's saying, young believers, think of this. Think of these things. Cast your bread upon the waters. You will find it after many days. Now these ancient words and these even cryptic words, who's thinking it's a little cryptic, that line, cast your bread upon the waters? It's a cryptic saying. And yet this cryptic saying has something to say to us as a congregation. Solomon's words are so useful for kingdom work that is done here at All Saints Church. And as a side, it's especially useful now that Mr. Tang has been licensed to preach by the presbytery. Where do you go from here? Solomon says, cast your bread upon the waters, and you will find it after many days. Solomon understands that when one invests in kingdom cultivation, it appears foolish to those who do not understand what God is doing. Kingdom cultivation seems like a waste of time and energy to those who are not able to see the kingdom of God. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Nicodemus. Jesus says, Nicodemus, unless a man is born from above, he cannot even see the kingdom of God. Ordinary means of grace, those things that are done to build the kingdom, they appear to be foolish to those who are not in Christ. And Solomon says, the kingdom is cultivated through ordinary means, like casting bread upon the water, and you will find it after many days. Remember, I said Solomon is an old man, and as Solomon reflects on his life, what we see in Ecclesiastes is so much different from what we see in Kings and Chronicles about Solomon. Solomon was a man who lived many years in rebellion. Outside of the grace of God, he was a man who was a womanizer. He had 3,000 wives. Most of us struggle with one. He was a man who sought pleasure in foreign women. He collected chariots. He built up his collection of horses. He was a man who sought riches, even riches beyond our wildest dreams. He was the original hedonist, living for the pleasure of himself. But grace broke in to the life of Solomon. Grace broke through that hardened surface of his heart, and a gospel seed was planted, and it sprouted, and it grew, and it bore much fruit. And you think, well, Pastor Eshelman, I don't really see much fruit in the life of Solomon. Ecclesiastes is the fruit of the life of Solomon. This book, the book of Ecclesiastes, it is the fruit of Solomon's conversion and repentance and faith and sanctification. This book is the evidence that this hardened heart, this hardened soil was softened as God drew Solomon unto himself. And Solomon leaves a legacy that is a great legacy for small fledgling churches. Something that we can put our hopes on here in this book. He tells us that the way in which the kingdom of Jesus Christ flourishes is through ordinary means. These ordinary means produce the kingdom of Christ. And they need to be used as our philosophy of ministry in congregations like ours. Because God uses these things to convert hearts, to convert the hearts of our loved ones. God gives us the ordinary means. He says, preach the word and pray and administer sacraments and sing the psalms. And these are the things that I use to convert sinners. These are the things that I use to sanctify saints, to draw them closer into relationship with Christ. And yet the world sees these things as foolish. Kingdom cultivation requires us to step out in faith and obedience and make statements like, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. This is Solomon's philosophy for how the kingdom is cultivated. And that hasn't changed. Those ordinary means of grace have not changed. We can think about what you're surrounded with here in Orange County. Orange County is the mega church capital of the world. How many of your friends and family say, why are you in that little church when there's this? The kingdom is cultivated through ordinary means. The church is to cast bread in anticipation that it will return. And that sounds foolish. Now, how many of you are thinking, what is this guy even talking about? Throwing bread in water and waiting for bread to come back? What is he even talking about? Let me set up the context. Now, it's not going to take much to imagine that you live in a dry and thirsty land. Think of Israel as a place that is dry and full of desert, and yet even though it's dry and full of desert and has little water for farming, yet there was a need to produce food because families happen and you have to feed families, and that required farming. And here what we see in our text is this ancient way of farming. Now the image that we get, because we read into the text, and we're supposed to read out of the text, but what we read into the text is this image of like a bridge with a river flowing underneath and people taking like Panera and just tossing it into the water. But that's not what the text is talking about. The word bread means grain in the Hebrew. So the image is not someone just foolishly casting these loaves of bread into the water, but it's a way of farming. And when my wife and I moved to Southern California about 5 years ago, and we first saw the Los Angeles River, we thought it was quite humorous. You know, we came from the east where rivers are actually rivers. And you see the Los Angeles River, and it basically looks like concrete with a little stream that trickles through the middle. And in the ancient times, in desert lands, rivers were much like that. The waters were much like that. There would be times where the rivers would run wild because it was following the rainy seasons, and the snow on the mountains would melt, and it would cause the rivers to rush. And yet as the heat of the sun stayed out longer, the river would find itself becoming smaller and smaller. And on the side of the river, there would be built up this silt bed. This portion of the river that's kind of sandy and kind of soily, but still wet. And the image that we have here is that as the farmer would stand, he would cast the grain into the river. in which is the little trickling stream, and the grain would go down the stream, and some of it would float to the bottom, and some of it would get stuck in that silt bed, and the grain would just disappear. And yet the farmer knew that was the ordinary means for farming, that was the way in which fruit would be produced, that grain would be produced. And over time, this silty area along the side of the little narrow stream, it would dry up and it would crack. And that little stream would get smaller and smaller and smaller. And in a lot of cases, it would disappear. And your hope for harvest, your hope for some sort of food production, you would be standing and looking at dry ground. And Solomon says, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Now, what do you think the untrained person would see as they saw the farmer just throwing valuable grain or seed into the river? If someone didn't know that was a way to farm, like, you know, we're urban people, we don't know how you farm. Farming is you go to Trader Joe's, right? And you buy what you need. You go to Sprouts and you get what you need. But to the untrained person, seeing this hungry farmer with a whole bunch of farmer kids just tossing his seeds into the water, you'd think this man is a fool. He's an idiot. He's wasting what God has given him to produce food. Kingdom cultivation is like that sometimes. The kingdom of Jesus Christ is built in similar ways. We have people from the outside looking in saying, what are you wasting your time for? Why are you doing this? And sometimes our own hearts say that to us as well. What are you doing? I could be a Presbyterian minister in a mainline church and have a big, beautiful stone building and make $200,000 a year. What am I doing? What is John doing? Is this really the way that God builds His church? Preaching, reading the Bible, singing psalms without even an organ or a guitar. Is this how the kingdom is to advance? Remember, Solomon is a testimony of grace. He's a man who in the core of his being was transformed by the Holy Spirit, and faith sprouted up and it grew, as Psalm 1 says, like a tree planted by a river of water. So what can we learn from this means of grace that Solomon gives us? There's lessons for you as a church. There's lessons for me as a pastor of one of your sister churches. How can we be encouraged as small and, let's face it, insignificant in the world's eyes? How can we be encouraged? As seed is cast through ordinary means of grace, putting all of our hope into long-winded preaching, in psalms without music, in long prayers. How do we put our hope that the kingdom of Jesus will be built? Well, in the first place, we must remember that we're called to sow with obedience. Sow with obedience. That's seen in the word cast. That's a command. Cast. We're to cast the seed of the Word of God, and we're to cast the seed of the Word in our prayers. And we do that out of obedience to God. We don't come to God and say, you know what? I've got a great idea. This is the 21st century. You would have never thought of this. We obey God's Word. We obey the commands. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. And we ask, what do you want? And He says, preach the Word. Administer the sacraments. Sing the Psalms without accompaniment. Pray and hear the Word of God read and read the Word of God. Jesus says, this is what I want. This is how I will build the kingdom. These are the means that I give you. And Solomon says, think on that. It's a command. We must obey it, and we cast that seed. We sow with obedience. Look at verse 2. It says, give a portion to seven or even to eight. You do not know what disasters may happen on earth. The idea here is that the Word of God is to be sown in a broad way. You don't know what may happen. None of us know what tomorrow brings for us. Tell you a little family story. I've been gone 3 weeks of this month, and it's not good for families to be away from each other 3 weeks in a month. And I'm maybe our deacon will kindly cut this out of the message, but I'm not big on the DMV, and I'm not big on smog tests. Okay? And my sticker was 6 months expired. All right? I landed on a Friday night. And I was leaving like midnight, Sunday night, back to Pittsburgh. So I land at LAX. I'm tired after a week of classes. I get to the parking lot and my car's missing. Okay? The government stole my car. So I call my wife. It's 11 at night. We have 5 children who have been asleep. I call my wife. She comes down and picks me up. I go home. The next day, I have to be at the church. And on a Saturday, at 1:30, let me back up. My car was impounded. It was stolen by the government. And it cost my wife $800 to get my car back. Okay? And when I got my car back, I was home Friday night, and on Saturday at 1:15, I was going down to the church, and I totaled my car. So, totaled car after putting $800 into it just to get it back from the government. We do not know what will happen in life. And the Scriptures tell us that we are to sow the Word of God widely. We don't know what effects it will have. We see friends and they're struggling and their family life is a mess. And you can say, let me tell you what the Scriptures say about this situation. And you don't really feel comfortable. You think, well, you know, I'm not an ordained officer. What right do I have? Or you think, you know, they really don't care about Christianity. So why should I read the Scriptures to them? We do not know what disasters may come. And Solomon just says, sow the Word. Sow the Word. Throw it out. Sow the Word. We do not know what opportunities will be open to us. We sow the Word liberally. And we don't know how that works. Look at verse 5. That's, you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones of the womb of a woman with child, so we do not know the work of God who makes everything. Now, I'm sure that all, even the 12-year-olds, can tell us the science of how babies are formed. But who in this room can tell us how life enters that child? None of us. We have a geneticist that in our congregation that's a professor at UCLA. Ask him the question, how does life come into the child? We don't know. How does God take the reading of the Word, and how does God take the preached Word and convert hearts through the preached Word? I don't know. But Romans 10 tells us that that's what He does. That He takes the preaching of the Word, one of the oldest forms of communication, a man who talks too much, speaking for a long time, and God said, that's what I want. That will convert sinners. Cast your bread out of obedience. It's part of kingdom cultivation. In the second place, we see that we are to sow with endurance. We sow with endurance. Look at the end of verse 1. It will be found after many days. The work of the kingdom takes time. You come here and you have to set up chairs, and there's so many things you have to do as a church plant to just be ready to worship. There are so many things, and there's so many ways that discouragement can set in. I was an intern at the Reformed Presbyterian Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and my wife and I were part of the group that planted that church. We get the discouragement of meeting in gyms. We get it. And you think, how long, O Lord? We sow with endurance. This may be many days. The church that I pastor was founded in 1908. They met in a tent for 5 years. A tent. And then they met in a goodwill. Endure. Carry on. Be encouraged. Because the work of kingdom building is not quick. It's not fast. It's not McMansions going up overnight. We want roots to be deep. Endure. Think of the parable of the sower, what happens to the seed that sprouts up quickly. Remember the seed that sprouts up quickly, it was on a rock. And the roots were not able to penetrate the rock. And even though it looks as though it's something that will last, it dies. It goes away. So much of the evangelical Christianity of Orange County will go away. The truth of the Word of God lasts forever. Be encouraged as you endure. We want to see lives changed in such a way that when the sun comes out, when the trials of life come, and they do come, that the roots are deep enough for the people to endure. We want to see seeds sprout up and produce fruit. We want to see those that are counseled to patiently sit under the gospel in their counseling, and for lives to be changed. And something that we share as congregations, we want to see more congregations established. How many people live between Brea and Eagle Rock? Enough for a couple more RP churches. We want to endure because the Word of God says that we may have to wait many days. Especially for the youngers, the 20-something crowd. That's hard for your generation. You stand in front of the microwave saying, come on, let's go, let's go. The Word of God calls for patient endurance. If the work in this church is not going fast enough for you, then that's a good thing. the work of building the kingdom takes time. Endure. Friends, have you been waiting many days for the gospel to transform some aspect of life? Maybe some sin, you know, you come, you examine yourself during the week and you come to the Lord's table, and often we come with these same sins and we're saying, Lord, this is the one, this is the one, this is the time, it's this time. And come Monday, whoops. Or maybe something in your family, something where you're like, this is out of line with the Word of God. This needs to be changed. And you pray about it, and you read the Scriptures, and you talk about it, and you desire for your family life to be transformed according to the Word of God. And lo and behold, fall, 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 fall. Endure. Because as that bread was cast onto the waters and it made its way down the stream and into the silt, that seed did not grow instantly. The farmer couldn't stand there and just watch it sprout up. He had to endure. He had to know that harvest would come, and that he had to be patient as he waited for that harvest to come, because in agriculture, there's no instant results. And Solomon says the same is true in the spiritual realm. We wait patiently for those seeds that have been sown. And sometimes we wait many days. Sometimes excuses can set in while we endure. Look at verses 3 and 4. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north, in a place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Solomon's saying, we have excuses for why we don't sow. The farmer's saying, you know, it's kind of cloudy today and the sun's not going to come out and it's kind of windy, and if I throw the seed, it's just going to get scattered where I don't want it. So I'm just going to hold this one out. Solomon says, if you wait, you'll never do it. You just obey. You do it. You endure. Or the tree is down in the field. Well, you know, I can't sow here. There's a tree down. How am I supposed to sow in that field? And then you look at the other field. There's a tree down over there too. I'll sit this one out. Excuses come. We are prone to excuses. It's going to rain. How can I sow? It's cloudy. Friends, if you refuse to cast your bread upon the waters because you are afraid that the rains will wash it away, you will not reap. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the message that King Jesus will take men and women who are dead in trespasses and sins and breathe life into them. And He will make crooked paths straight, and He will redeem those who appear to be beyond hope, and He will make them faithful kingdom people. And the gospel transcends our excuses. Even our excuses as Reformed Christians. You know, I'm saved by grace. God doesn't really care how I live. It's a lie. It's a lie. We're not growing because people hate the truth. We'd probably be more faithful if we were shrinking. It's a lie. We're prone to excuse. My home life doesn't reflect biblical principles because of that person. That's Adam, right? It was that woman that you gave me. It's a lie. Keep casting your bread. Keep sowing seed. Know that the Spirit of God is the one that controls this aspect of kingdom building, not you and me. It's His work, and our call is to be faithful in the sowing of the Word as we cast bread upon the waters. We're not to be people that make excuses. We're to be people that endure, that persevere. Verse 6 says, in the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. The contrast of the excuse making, well, it's going to rain, or here's a tree, or there's a tree, so I'm not going to do anything. Solomon says, use both of your hands to cast the seed. It shows the extent to which the Word of God is to be used in our lives as we cast that seed. Here in this church, into your own heart, into your family, into your friends, into those in the circles in which you run. The sower is obedient in sowing. It's not his job to make sure that it lands on fertile soil. It's his job to cast seed. We sow and we endure in that sowing, and we leave the rest up to the Spirit of God, because it's not our job. Our job is to be faithful to the means of grace, and God takes those means of grace and does what He does with them. We pray, we read the Scriptures, we hear biblical preaching, we sing the Psalms, and the Spirit of God takes that and does His work. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. In the third place, we see that we are to sow with expectation. We sow with expectation. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it. That's a promise. Solomon encourages us in our labors. He encourages us as small churches in our labors. There will be a harvest. Remember the context. Imagine that these seeds going into that silty area on the side and just sinking and going in, and others just drifting away downstream. And you can imagine the anxiety of the farmer. Will I see that again? Is that going to produce anything? And time passes. He waits for many days. And lo and behold, you see a little tint of green across the silt bed. Grain is growing, which means there will be a harvest. You will find it. One Puritan wrote, the prayer that seems as if it had died on your lips, continue in it. Though you halt in the weary conflict, hold on. You will find it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, rejoicing as he brings his sheaves with him, when days of waiting have done their work, humbling us in the entire dependence upon God and ripening us for the harvest of blessing in due season. In God's timing, we shall reap if we faint not. Do you cast your bread and it seem as though it will never return. You wonder what God's plan is for you. You keep praying and praying. The harvest will come. You desire to see the preached word transform lives. The harvest will come. Do you long to see these chairs overflowing with Christ-filled worshipers? The harvest will come. Do you long to see your family walking in faithfulness to Jesus Christ? The harvest will come. You long to see your own life conformed more and more to Jesus Christ. The harvest will come. We must continue and wait patiently for the Lord as He moves in our midst, in our hearts and in our families and in this congregation and even within our own presbytery. The harvest will come. And how? Because seeds are being planted. Bread is being cast onto the waters, and we are to endure as we wait for that promise. We sow with expectation, knowing that God will bless the harvest. Friends, this may seem simplistic. This may not seem like anything that the church growth movement is producing. It may seem old-fashioned, but it's thoroughly biblical. We use ordinary means for building the church. It's His work. We cast the bread. The Spirit blesses. We endure, and the Spirit gives perseverance. We see a harvest, and He plucks the fruit. Congregation, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Amen.